Listening to WJRH 104.9 FM, Lafayette College Radio, Easton, Pennsylvania, and I'm Kevin.
Wow. That,
in Croaksville.
Oh, yeah.
I'm Jay.
I'm James.
And this is Mocha Gumbo. We're back for the second time. We recorded correctly last week, which was really cool, because we're super incompetent.
And we only started 7 minutes late today, so.
Yeah, that was pretty good. Last time it was, no, it was probably actually less. It was give and take. You can't record well and
this is also our first show in 3 weeks. So.
True, yeah. Yeah, well, for the one person in Romania who listens to us because he found us some, you know, roundabout
it's
way
like,
in the
oh,
dark web.
Americans, love them.
Way to be stereotyped. Is that one? Is that what a Romanian would sound like?
I don't know. It's. I feel like it would be
anyone outside of the U.S. just sounds like this.
All Eastern Europeans.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like Kazakhstan, Kyrgyzstan.
My levels are terrible. There we go. So we were out because you. What happened?
I
we
was
had fall break.
Oh, I was down with the sickness.
You were down with the sickness.
Ooh,
first was fall break, right?
Yeah, it was. Yes.
And then it was you were down with the sickness, and
I actually had to go home for that.
I don't know. 3 weeks. What happened prior?
Well, I mean, our last show that we did was 3 weeks.
Right. Ago. Right. Okay. Yeah. So we had that 2 week interim. One was legitimate. The other was you being a pansy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm sorry. I want to vomit all over the mics. Just.
I'm
Kevin and
no, I heard from we gotta turn these down. These are crazy. I don't know how low they must have really soothing lullaby audiobook voices because they
who is Sam and Henry?
Yeah.
Because, they might just talk loudly.
No. Their levels are their levels are higher, so that means they would talk. I scream. I'm very passionate.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
I was gonna say, a lot of people in my dorm, I don't know what's going on, but I don't know what your symptoms were, but that, you know, we've got like 100, not like casual, like you can have a casual fever and be like, I'm sick, give me pity, but they've got like 120
yeah.
degrees Kelvin. Actually don't know if that would be a higher.
No, it's actually, Kelvin is the exact same thing as Fahrenheit.
Oh, well, Kelvin sounds
no,
cooler.
I'm sorry, Kelvin is plus 350 something. I haven't done chemistry.
You bring a good amount of realism to this show. I'm Kelvin is whatever to
so,
me.
400 some odd degrees.
No, like serious.
Oh yeah, I was clocking in at 102, maybe almost 103.
That
consistent
makes it sound a lot cooler.
For like
clocking it at 102, rocking a 104.
It was
crazy.
I had a fever for 4.5 days straight. Actually.
Oh wow.
Yeah, it broke one day.
Came back.
And no, it broke, and I was just like, "Huh, I don't have to wake up in a pool of sweat."
Oh
anymore.
Man, yeah, that's just the worst. And especially because you don't really have, at least when you were younger, you could play the card and be like, "All right, well," and your teachers would give you a little pity. I'm thick, but here you gotta be like, "Oh man, you can't indulge." Like, I've always said, don't cure the common cold, especially don't cure the flu if you can.
Okay,
because I love that pity. I love indulging in the fact that I'm sick. But when you can't do that, it's terrible. Like, when you actually have some commitments and obligations.
Oh, yeah, when you have responsibilities.
Yeah, you can't be like, all right, I'm going to miss this class. Because each class comes out to, like, $300-something, I believe, if you divided all your classes by tuition. So you can't just, like, when you're younger, you can be like, I need SpongeBob mac and cheese, and I'm going to watch Baby Looney Tunes all day. Which I could still do, but it wouldn't be as appropriate. I hate that. And having to, like, I can't get up regularly. Like, when I wake up in the morning, my roommate can attest to this. I wake up in the morning, and I didn't even realize this until he told me. Julian was like, dude, you're the worst in the morning. You're a monster.
Oh,
like,
God.
You're terrible. I was like, what happened? He's like, you just don't like me. What do you mean?
Really?
I say hello to you in the morning. And granted, this is like 5 minutes after I wake up, which I'm still dead. And he'll say like hello or good morning, and I'll look at him, shoot daggers at him with my eyes, and just be like, no.
That's dangerous. Have you gotten that looked at? Or the dagger shooting?
And the daggers coming out of my eyes.
Oh man, he just shot me with one. God.
It's my steely blue, delicious orbs of eyes. I like to think there's some blue in my hazel somewhere. I tell people I've got steely blue eyes.
I like to think we all have a hazel out there, you know? Yeah.
That's deep.
Yeah.
We could really pull off a lot more of a toned-down, introspective show, especially with this music. Like, this music, this coffee table jazz, I'm just going to turn it up a little bit.
We could pull something off.
That doesn't fit the fact that I go off the wall. I think it's more of just inducing a trance so I don't go off, bounce off the walls the entire time we're on air.
It's like Henry and Sam were saying in the last show, how Sam has to rein Henry in. I think every show has someone who is a bit more dysfunctional than the other person.
Absolutely. What's up? I think the implication there might have been that I'm dysfunctional.
Happy birthday
to me, James!
I said happy birthday to you already. It's Kelvin's birthday, by the way.
It took him a total of 5 minutes on air to recognize that it was my birthday. I thought that would be priority number one.
James, texted you already.
You did. You were pretty punctual. You're pretty good.
I know.
You're no Jake Van Brunt, who texted me at 12. Well, actually, credit, the award goes to Julian for earliest birthday.
Yeah, congrats. Because you live with
him. Yeah.
I could have woken up at 5:30 and be like, oh boy, it's Kevin's birthday.
You ran to my dorm, knock at like 12:01. I just wanted to say happy birthday.
And I love you, and...
Bye. I don't get... Well, people... I don't really mind... Birthdays aren't a big deal. It's fun. Like, I like being, hey, congratulations, you 2 decades.
You've
come out of the womb, and you're still kicking. But, like, that's as far as my sentiments go with birthdays.
Yep.
I don't like the overindulging. Like, oh my god!
Well, on the other hand, I also don't like the people on the exact opposite of the spectrum. The,
I hate birthdays. It's just another year closer to when I'm going to die.
It's like,
well, birthdays suck, man. It's like, no, birthdays are great. And those people are wearing Slipknot, you know, headbands and
now.
Like. Yeah. No, I get that. And I'm neither here nor there. I don't want to be aggressive about the fact that it's my birthday and be like, recognize that I've been birthed. But I also, I don't want to be that guy.
Was actually hatched.
I spawned. I also celebrate my conception in 3 months. So everyone, I am more proud. I think that's more of a special occasion. I think that's the real birthday. And I don't think, honestly, why don't people celebrate conception days? It's more magical. It has a little more weight to it. Granted, the implications of your conception day are a little uglier, but it's more special.
I mean, every day, you know, if you were to have a conception day, it would be a day about you being constantly reminded that your parents...
Don't even go there.
Yeah, exactly. You don't want to be thinking about that.
That's the point, but... It's still, regardless, I think you should ignore that fact. I think it's more special. Actually, I'd like to celebrate... Birth is kind of... I mean, it's cool. I get it. Coming into the... But I feel like I'd rather celebrate, like, the day that I said my first word. Or, like, the day that I realized that Pop-Tarts are just a lesser toaster strudel. Like, I feel like those are the major milestones in a boy's life.
Yeah, you... Tone it like it is.
What?
You're telling it like it is.
Yeah, that's the truth right there. By the way, toaster strudels are far superior to
Pop-Tarts. I never got into Pop-Tarts. You ever
try toaster strudels?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, they're delicious. I mean, I guess... Well, Pop-Tarts are more convenient.
Yeah, I mean, you don't need to toast toaster strudel either, but it is infinitely better.
Well, I could concede that Pop-Tarts are definitely more snackable.
Yeah.
Snackified.
Okay.
Because, you know, I've never seen someone like whip. You know, you'd have that kid on the bus who would whip out at, like, when you're going back shut up. you would reach in and pull out the little tinfoil thing and you're like, oh, yeah, Pop-Tart, yeah. You want a Pop-Tart? But no one's ever casually taken out a scrambled egg and bacon toaster strudel and be like, just cold and frozen. You're like, yeah, I got a toaster strudel. So, yeah.
I wanted to let it sit in my mouth for 25 minutes until it becomes warm enough for me to swallow.
Just soggy. Oh.
Just a mess.
But, I think for casual snackers, I think Pop-Tarts are the way to go. But for the more, that's like the Nintendo gamer versus the PC gamer.
Okay.
I feel like if you're more casual with your snacking, you could get away with
a Pop-Tart.
With a Pop-Tart. But
it's the more hardcore.
I think a toaster strudel is more of an experience. As far as breakfast foods, you need to prep.
Like,
well, to be fair, they all pale in comparison to actual food. Like, they're a good substitute. I used to have, and to no fault of my parents, by the way, just to exonerate them of any implication that they fed me fat and sugar for 10 years, but I would beg for s'mores Pop-Tarts.
Oh, the Pop-Tarts, yeah, yeah.
Oh, man. They were incredible. And I could have, they're so convenient. And it's, The problem is, in high school, I don't know if you had the same thing, but I could not, for the life of me, eat actual food in the morning.
Oh, I hated breakfast.
So, well, it's because I woke up at 6 o'clock, and that, by the way, warped my entire college eating schedule.
You don't want to do anything. You don't want to do anything.
Yeah.
Breakfast time is like, I mean, I guess now it's like 7:38, depending on when you have class, but, probably around 8 or 8:30.
Right.
But when you get up for high school, you're there and you shower and you're on autopilot for
absolutely
the first hour or two.
And well, it's like trying to eat while you're asleep. You're still half asleep.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's like trying to juggle while shooting an M9. Asleep. Like you can't while asleep.
I mean, you could put it akin to anything while
but
asleep.
It's just terrible. Like I can't focus on it. And I would try. Like, well, the only reason I would eat in high school in the morning was I was a coffee. I would bring a coffee addict.
I used to bring a thermos,
about like a 8-inch, 10-inch, yay high furnace. Okay. A furnace. I brought a furnace to school.
Is that how you made the toaster strudel?
Yes. Yeah. And I would bake my own mug. But I would bring a thermos.
Okay.
And honestly, probably like 25, 26 ounces of coffee in it.
Yep.
Like a couple cups of coffee. And so I would have that in the morning. I would like pour that and have my morning coffee and then save it for the afternoon and reheat it, which whatever. I didn't care about the quality.
No,
I just wanted the energy.
Fair.
And oh my, just racked with just heave. Like if you ever have coffee on an empty stomach, it's just like eating a battery, you know? It just erodes your interior. And you're like, you know? It's terrible. So I would only eat just to act as a buffer. I wouldn't just shoot all of my body out of my mouth because it's just terrible.
Mm-hmm.
That's also why I switched to tea, which is a poor...
Oh, okay. On that note, I actually recently, in a similar vein, I had switched to tea over the summer. I used to drink an exorbitant amount of coffee, like 2-3 cups a day. Disgusting.
Right, right.
And I switched, first of all,
some people would call that way underplayed, but
yeah,
I've met some crazy, almost cracked out coffee addicts. We're like, hey man, can I just get some Joe? Like in a hoodie on
some
the corner of a street. Just a little hit, man. But, so tea.
It's healthier, you know.
Okay.
I think. I feel less anxious. I don't know. You know, it's the coffee. You get it inside. It's in your veins, and you're like, oof, like, ooh. And tea,
oh boy.
And tea, you're like, this is good.
It's definitely. I try to have maybe a cup, definitely a cup in the morning, and a cup toward dinner time, like 4 o'clock. I have 1 to 2 a day,
mm-hmm.
And I've had. actually, I was taking an econ midterm, and right before it, it was about 5 o'clock, and I shotgunned like a 16-ounce coffee.
Okay.
And I don't know, it's kind of like, I wouldn't know what it's like, but when people drink, and they're like, oh, they're perfectly fine, and they're like, oh, I need more, and then you're like, no, you don't. You're fine.
Oh, and then later.
And then you're like, oh, man. So I shotgun this coffee. Like, yeah, I need all the energy in the world. But there's a precipice that you can cross, and it's a very fine line where you go from energetic and ambitious to it's like you just
like
ate
you
2 want
pounds
of PCP. Yeah. And you're not... For me, it's not so much anxiety, but I'm more so... I want to, like, run a 5K and, like, build pyramid. Like, I go insane. And I was actually sitting there studying. But you can't do high frequency. When you're studying, you need to be at a
high
right,
octane studying.
You need to be, at a right amount of ambitious but calm. You know, you can't study anxiously. So I'm just sitting there, and I'm, like, jittering. I'm looking at the word, and I'm like, man, this isn't my head, man. This is, this is high frequency. I need to do something, to build something, man. This is just numbers, like going crazy.
Looking at words like, oh man, these are just numbers.
These are just little symbols. And what does this even mean? Like going existentially, like caffeine can be way less casual than it should
absolutely.
It's wild. This is actually kind of, we've actually descended, I think maybe just conditional to the music, we've actually had like a coffee table fireside chat.
A literal coffee table.
Yeah. But now, if assuming my playlist is up, we can go into some music.
I'd be fine with that.
Today, my birthday, and I know we're all God's children, and I said this before to a couple friends, and I'm going to repeat it now. I know we're all God's children, and I know he all loves us equally. But I think he might love me more, because today, only did Michael Bublé's new album drop, and I'm a big fan.
Okay.
The Orionids peak yesterday and today, and there's a Hamilton special coming out, I think on ABC or something tonight. So I think the scale's tilted in my favor. And right now, we're going to play some Michael Bublé off his new album. This is going to be like the big pop hit. Every album he releases, he does like 3 covers. Because swing music is easier to cover than to write.
Absolutely.
He does like 3 covers, 2 like slowed down acoustics, like 2 swing originals, and this is one of his originals. It's a little poppy, but that's how all of his songs are.
Oh yeah.
Like Haven't Met You Yet. It's swingy, but it's poppy.
You get the dancey undertones. Like you can
absolutely
definitely do more traditional dances to this.
Right. So this is Nobody But Me off of his new album, Nobody But Me. And we also might play On an Evening in Roma, which is a cover of Dean Martin. But for now, enjoy the musical stylings of Mr. Bublé, and we will be right back.
Baby, I get a little bit jealous, but how the hell can I help it when I'm thinking on you? Maybe I might get a little reckless, but you gotta expect that. What else can a boy do? My mama taught me how to share, but I be selfish and I don't care, 'cause I want you. I need you all for me. I don't want anybody loving my baby. Nobody, 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 nobody but me. Just maybe nobody, 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 nobody but me. And I know when you got a lovely lady, I might drive the boys crazy when she's looking so fine. Whoa, I know, no, no, no one ever would blame me. The only thing that could save me is just knowing you're mine. My papa told me once or twice, don't be cool, but don't be too nice, 'cause I want you, I need you all for me. Cause I don't want anybody loving my baby. Nobody, nobody, nobody but me. And I don't want anybody thinking just maybe. Nobody, nobody, nobody but me. Hey, we make beautiful music together. How you make my heart sing. Grew into this, I want us to never be apart thing. Work of art thing, the way you pull me like a harp string. Every moment spent is worth it, that's the perfect part. See, I like whatever you like. We had to do right and do like two sovereign nations and try to unite. I'm proud of you like a treasure, you're the one I'm cherishing. Every other girl is really paling in comparison. I know I can be a bit jealous, but how the hell can I help it? I'm so in love with you. I don't want anybody. Come belle c'è la luna, brille strette, strette, con butto bella pasteggian. Sotto il cielo del Roma. Down each avenue, via street or strada, you can see them disappearing two by two. On an evening in Roma, do they take for espresso? Yeah, I guess so. On each lover's arm, a girl I wish I knew. On an evening in Roma, though there's grinning and mandolin in sunny Italy, the beginning has just begun when the sun goes down. So please meet me in the plaza near your casa. I am only one and that is much too few. On an evening in Roma, don't know what the country's coming to, but in Rome do as the Romans do. Will you? On an evening in Roma. Come belle c'è la luna, brille strette, strette, con butto belle pasteggian. Sotto il cielo di Roma. Don't know what the country's coming to, but in Rome do as the Romans do. Will you? On an evening in Roma. Sotto il cielo di Roma. On an evening in Roma.
Welcome back. You are still listening to WDRH 104.9 FM, Lafayette College Radio, Easton, Pennsylvania, and this is still Mocha Gumbo. And we left off talking about something or other, but it's not going to matter because
we switch topics often.
We're going to get distracted anyway. I've always wondered. I want to figure this out. This just popped into my head. I was just thinking about. We will never know. We have Google Trends to see how many people are listening at a given time to WJRH, which is useful. So you can see the internet crowd. But we broadcast, it's something like a 5 to 10 mile radius. I know when I drive to Lehigh, you can listen to WJRH
okay.
for most of the ride. But there's no way to tell how many people are. I wish we could survey. I wish we could.
I would say it's above zero, definitely, but less than 1,000.
It's definitely less than 1,000.
You know I'm not wrong.
Oh, absolutely. But I want to know, is it in the realm of 10? To five to ten? Is it in the realm of 50 to 100? We could have no idea. I don't know the kinds that. There might be people that listen to radio a lot, but I would never know. So I want to develop some kind of data on it. Just like, if you're listening right now.
We could probably talk to.
Tweet at Lafayette College or something.
We should make a social media thing, but both of us are lazy.
Yeah, I know. Well, I did have. You could tweet it. Kevin Milton, if you want.
But, just plug yourself. All
yeah,
right, I get it.
I want to be a celebrity. But
follow me on Instagram.
I have an Instagram. I just don't use it.
You should like my most recent picture then.
Yeah, sure. Totally, I'll get right on that.
Never.
But no, I really want to know. Just and not for good reasons. I just want to see how big our crowd is.
That's fair.
You know? And I also feel like I would want to know. Actually, I don't even know if I would want to know. I might be a lot more disingenuous if
you knew a lot of people.
If I knew a lot of people were listening, I wouldn't sound remotely real whatsoever, you know. And well, not that they would expect much from college radio.
Well, yeah, but
it's literally an introduction to radio. But
yeah, you've got in the back of your head that you don't want to disappoint these
exactly.
people, or you don't want to say something that's going to drive them away.
And well, that's a good thing. And I think it was. I was having a conversation akin to this with someone, maybe Dan, but I feel so bad for celebrities because celebrities don't, at least a lot of them, it's hard to become a celebrity when you intend to be a celebrity.
Yeah.
You know, I was watching an interview of Reese Witherspoon. I think it was Reese Witherspoon who was not, but you know, totally by accident, definitely didn't look up her name on purpose because I love her. And she was making the point.
Want to elaborate? Or?
No. history delete. private bro. but I was watching an interview with her, and she was like, you know, if you want to be a celebrity, you can't be a celebrity. Like those, that's you can't be an actor or a singer or an entertainer for the sake of the fame, which makes a lot of sense. Because if you were acting on that impulse with that in the back of your mind, you wouldn't be very likable. You know, you would.
Yeah,
seem,
it's not genuine.
It's genuineness that attracts a lot of people to different stars. So I feel really bad, and I don't know how they maintain their persona when if you're an actor, an actress, an entertainer of any kind, you. The difference between a celebrity and a person is that one has a persona that people like, and it's completely, it's not a forced attribute. A lot of the times it's just a natural thing, natural inclination. But and someone who's just a person, who's they have a great personality, but they just don't have that intrinsic charisma, that's the only difference, is that level of charisma. And I feel bad, because how can you be a real person when you didn't necessarily intend on fame, but the work you enjoyed doing was contingent, was, you know, compliant with fame.
Okay.
It's, then you're taken up to the status of role model. You have to appeal to the public eye in such a dramatic way. But that's, I don't necessarily think that all of the blame and the mantle of responsibility should be put on them solely because they're pretty or funny or interesting.
Okay, yeah.
That just seems like a terrible life. Imagine that. If you were you one day and then everyone said they liked you and now you're held up to an impossible standard. And if you act in a way that seems natural to you that people don't agree with, you're demonized for it. You know? Especially, you know, parents who say, oh, you're a role model for my kid. That's a terrible
burden.
Yeah,
it's horrible. I agree with you in the sense... Actually, yeah, I think... It's just... I feel like we put too much pressure on celebrities to do everything right. Or
right?
Everything... Not necessarily okay in the public eye, but you have to... A lot of celebrities and people who are famous in general get pushed into a box where everyone expects them to be this one type of person all the time because that's what they like.
Literally a character.
Like Jennifer Lawrence, almost.
Right.
So she is, you know, funny and goofy and everyone loves her.
Yeah, that's endearing. I totally agree.
And she blew up at a reporter or something like that once. And
she
then
snapped.
Everyone hated her for like a week or so.
Isn't that
like,
incredible?
Oh, Jennifer Lawrence is terrible. Why is she not acting like she always does always? Like, why is she not being this bubbly, great personality?
Why is
she not shoving herself into this box where she can only feel the emotions and display
that
the
we
emotions?
Like.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Why can't she be mad like I can get mad?
Yeah.
Like,
no, they're supposed to be immortals, you know?
It's nuts.
Demigods. It's crazy. And I get it to a degree. Like, the fame comes with the responsibility. But a lot of the times, if we say that the price for fame is responsibility, you may drive away a lot of talent, a lot of actors, a lot of entertainers. Mm-hmm. Sure, the audience is what drives them. But their performance... is not a performance for the sake of fame. And their need for an audience is not a need in itself that's just satisfying. It's contingent on the performance and the quality of the performance. So if you need that sort of promotion and love in order to be able to put on a good character or a good act, and that's not necessarily... No one signed up for the fame in itself. They have a talent to contribute. But
so
if you're denying them their talent because you believe that the fame that they receive for it also comes with a certain amount of public responsibility or responsibility to youth, you're going to drive away a lot of, or just completely destroy a lot of potential talent.
It's a tall order.
It is. We got pretty serious.
Yeah, it's like
I don't think I've ever gotten this.
I don't know. No,
it's definitely an important.
It's an important thing to talk about because you don't want you. I can't articulate my thoughts well because I don't exactly know what my thoughts are. Like you,
well,
because
it's
just
not something
this...
nobody thinks. I've thought about this before.
Oh yeah, exactly. So
people don't typically spend time going because the norm is typically you watch. Oh man, TMZ. Good God,
I can't.
It's awful. Nuts. They drive me insane. I don't know how you could possibly deal with the paparazzi. They're terrible people. Hmm. They're terrible people. And of course, they're... A lot of the publicity is tedious, and I'm sure TMZ is very aware of that. I'm sure actors are as well, so maybe they're not that awful. But just constant ridicule. I'm talking more the level of a very public and very moral ridicule.
I think it's absolutely insane. Now, there are organizations who... profit purely off of the fame of others. Like, you have
you mean like talent agencies?
No, not even that. You mean you know like Gawker, right?
I have no idea.
Okay, so Gawker was this website that got so in general, like these celebrity gossip websites, right?
Uh-huh.
They have their profit comes from tarnishing the image of these celebrities and, you know, musicians and all that.
Right.
Just because they're famous, in a
sure.
sense. Like, I could do something horrible. Like, I could say something that is absolutely terrible, right? But no one would care. But if someone like Brad Pitt says something horrible, something absolutely
sure.
terrible,
yeah,
they grab that, they snatch it up, they get the audio files or quote them or whatever, and everything blows up. Like, Brad Pitt And not necessarily ruined. He's never going to be ruined. But
he's Brad Pitt. you can't break the pit. You
know, everyone hates him for a few days, and these sites just capitalize off of that.
Absolutely.
Like, they just leech money and even to a certain extent popularity, I guess.
Well, sure. But my problem is, I just have a problem with the individual perception, which may be a result of this sort of, you know, capitalizing of mm-hmm. people's misfortune and their fame and that sort of responsibility. But just in general, to the individual, how do you forget that De Niro, of course, if I ever saw De Niro in a cafe, I would vomit and I would hug him and I would cry. But
it's a lot of emotions.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's gastrointestinal and mental. But but if I ever saw De Niro afterwards, I'm not thinking, wow, I just saw Hercules and he's about to ascend back onto Mount Olympus. Like, they are very much people. Mm-hmm. But for some reason, it's just, you cannot, and it makes sense, of course, if people are adored by millions, making millions, and are in a very exclusive club, they're mystified, and they don't really have those human attributes, especially because they're paid to appeal to a public who demands that sort of idealism. Wow, this is getting way too big.
Yeah, it's a bit much.
All right, just in general.
No, but I completely understand where you're coming from.
They're people.
Yeah.
You know, and it's, I would rather have an actor who is an actor rather than an actor who is a philanthropist, who is a activist, who, I don't want the perfect model human being. I want you to do your job well and I'll respect it. But beyond that, I don't expect anything from a celebrity. I don't expect you to be a role model to a degree, unless you've signed up for that. I don't expect you to be the icon of a generation. Do your job well. Do your art or your talent or your entertainment well, and that's all you should be doing.
Yep.
But wow, yeah, that was, I guarantee that might be the most serious I've ever gotten.
It was good. I wish I could have contributed more. I apologize.
Well, no, again, it's not something people go like, oh, celebrities deserve to not be hated or objectified. Like, that's a very weird, but it's worth considering. And there's definitely 20 arguments to the contrary, because I'm sure in a lot of cases there are people who do deserve a good amount of ridicule because they feel like they deserved a good amount of role modelship.
There are definitely those who seek out fame for fame.
Yeah,
but
And those people can bear the burden. But, oh, wow. So we just killed... that had to have been a 10-minute rant.
I think that might have been 20. Because we were talking about it before...
No way.
No, we weren't. No.
No, there's no way. Well, because 220... Maybe.
Could have been.
Wow.
Do you want to get a... You want to get a word from the dictionary again real quick?
You want to... Oh, yeah. We have more time now. Last time we did it last minute. I don't know if this is going to work out.
We have like 15 minutes or so. We could always, we usually find a good flow. To transition around. Like, we had Diamond one day, and then we got started. I forget what we went on, but we went from Diamond to something absolutely not.
I remember talking about elbows. I don't remember how.
That might have been from Diamond.
Random. Well, now I know which one's good, because the other one of them was generating, like, cat or dog. Like, very.
Jelly.
Jelly. Oh, this is a good one.
All right. Okay. Interesting.
I'm on it. So, the sandwich is at Lower.
Okay.
At our local cafe and dining experience.
Oh, it's an experience.
Right. Oh, yeah. they have peanut butter and jelly. And
really?
Peanut butter and jelly is PB&J. That's what peanut butter and jelly is. But I grew up with... there's a man by the name of Frank Milton. And a woman by the name of Maureen Milton.
Okay.
And they're wonderful people. And they did not allow my childhood to be sullied by the infernal sin that is jelly. Because have you ever had jam? I mean, like, well, all right, so Welch's, if you go into the store, I specifically remember that my dad, of course, reminded me every day, you know, like, there's the fathers in the 1800s in the West who would walk up to their son and be like, remember, son, you know, our destiny is here. We didn't have this land before. We've come a long way. We are the final frontier. And then, you know, in the 1920s, remember, son, these are the good old days. For me, my dad would put his hand on my shoulder and say, remember, jelly and jam are not at all the same thing. And I remember asking one of my friends to go pick up something. Might have been, could have been in college. I don't remember. But I said, yeah, could you go pick up stuff for PB&J? Like, yeah, sure.
Oh, God.
Comes back. Peanut butter. Good. 1/3. Bread. Nice. White. Wonder Bread. Fantastic. And he got it for sale. Sure. Great. So we're doing fine. Welch's. Jelly.
Jelly. Oof.
Jelly is... I didn't realize that most people eat peanut butter and jelly. Everyone should be eating peanut butter and jam.
Jam is more of a spreadable, right?
It's way more spreadable. And it's not like jelly, if you try to spread it. Jelly is like trying to spread glass. It's impossible.
Yeah, it's horrible.
I would rather take my jelly and then put it in a blender and then use that. But jam is this beautiful thing. It flows like honey. And it comes in a little, you know the squeeze bottle that they made
for
jelly
absolutely.
And jam? Even that doesn't even help jelly's case. Like, I think that was...
It
breaks it up into tinier shards. Yeah, absolutely. It's violent. With jam, it's like a nice, even spread. You can make a little smiley face.
I don't know.
And it's fantastic. So, and he got jelly. And it was the worst. I dealt with jelly for...
I'm so sorry.
Several weeks, several months. It's a terrible thing. Terrible thing. They're not at all comparable.
Real quick, I actually do have a jelly story as well.
God, who doesn't have a jelly story?
Very short. My friends and I, before we went to, or we left for college, this was my summer between my senior year of high school and my freshman year of college. So, you know, we had our last hoorah, right?
Uh-huh.
So we were deciding where to eat our last dinner together. And we decided TGI Fridays was the best option, right?
Okay, all right. I can get that in a teenager's point of view.
We wanted unlimited appetizers.
Oh, and
if you've never had unlimited appetizers.
I've had them. They're amazing.
It is a mountainous task. Because the way it worked at my TGI Fridays is that you had to finish all the appetizers before you get the next round.
Well, obviously, yeah, because they don't want you ruining their sales.
Exactly.
More than you're going to eat.
So the six of us got geared up with our...
you fasted for a week.
We had you know, the utensils in the hands. We were like savages
on the table.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
Like a disgusting
hungry
chant.
Horde of Vikings.
So the apps come in. We eat the first round. We eat the second round, and we get to the third round, and everyone's pretty full. But we want to get to the fourth round because we want to say we got to the fourth round, right?
Yeah, sure.
And one of my friends had ordered peanut butter and jelly wings.
Well, I'm not following.
Neither did we. So there's a basket of wings that had been like dusted with like a peanut sauce.
Peanut sauce, okay.
But like a
that.
Jelly sauce as well.
Oh man.
So we're sitting there and we had finished all the third round appetizers and we're just looking at these wings and they're vile. They're absolutely disgusting.
Man.
So my one friend goes, "All right, I've got this, don't worry." So he just grabs like a fistful of napkins.
Mm.
And he scoops them all up. And he just power walks to the bathroom. And then he comes back and he goes,
"I win, no.
I took care of it."
How did he flush them?
I don't know if he flushed them or just tossed them in the garbage.
There's no way you flushed bone down a drain.
It was...
Ugh.
We got that fourth round of appetizers. It was one of the best experiences of my life, like...
I'm sure the hour after that was the worst experience.
Yeah, from a TGI Friday standpoint, and then the subsequent hour was the worst hour of my life. Just, oh.
Yeah. I did that with my friends. We did that junior year,
mm-hmm.
And it sounded like one of those too good to be true restaurants, like Golden Corral. You hear about Golden Corral, it's like, yeah, it's all, you know, Caucasian, it's some Midwestern, maybe Tex-Mex, you got some Chinese food.
Yeah, but it's trash.
But in practice, it's a nightmare, unless you're very hungover. But we went to TGI Fridays, not too bad, it wasn't too crowded,
mm-hmm.
For half-price apps day or whatever, and But we ordered, I think it was, we all wanted sliders.
Okay.
And, like, a lot of sliders. Like, that's all we were going to eat. We're like, all right, it's half-price apps. Get sliders. But at that point, they were transitioning from, like, the apps being more so bar food than dinner food. So, like, there's, like, the TGI Fridays bar crowd and then yep. the dinner crowd. So, they weren't making platters anymore. So, when we ordered, I think it was something like, it was five of us, four of us, and we wanted, like, seven sliders each. They all came out. We ordered them in rounds.
Okay.
So the first round, we got seven sliders. We got, like, eight sliders. We're like, all right. They all came out in individual plates. Okay. Like, individual, like 6-inch diameter plates. Mm-hmm. Good amount of space. So we're like, all right, let's have fun with this. So we ordered another, like, three. And you could just see the look on, like, they're just, we just wasted at least an eighth of their inventory of those plates that were meant for the bar crowd.
Mm-hmm.
And they were getting really salty. So, like, the last round, we were like, I don't think we should eat these. I don't know what they're doing. You know, good times, though. Good times at
TGI Fridays.
Yeah. It's actually, it's not the worst. I feel like the trifecta of that kind of restaurant. Of course, you have Texas Roadhouse. I don't know if you have that.
Oh, we don't have that in, no.
In New
Jersey?
Not in my Jersey.
Not in my Jersey.
Your Jersey.
The trifecta of terrible to not terrible
Chili's,
restaurants.
Chili's, Applebee's, TGI Fridays.
Absolutely.
Exactly. Yeah. That's
and
what
then
I was going to say.
The Macaroni Grill.
Okay, yeah.
As like the cousin on the side. He's the guy who shows up to the family reunions, but no one really talks to him.
Right, yeah.
He's just there because he, you know, was born with the same blood as the rest of you.
Right. Well, I would, and well, there's like, there's also, there's grated middle, like, tier foods. Like, you have those which are, like, the classic middle standard, low middle standard of food, of restaurant. And then you have, on the very upper echelon, you know, of course you have your nobles, but then you have your viceroy, you know? And that's, like, Red Lobster.
Absolutely.
Is, like, the viceroy of that,
the biscuits
of that
alone
noble court.
Are...
Oh, the biscuit. Oh, man. Oh, man. My cousin was a manager.
Oh.
Every story starts out with every good one. My cousin was a manager of a Red Lobster. And for every Christmas, he'd bring home four, you know, big Ziploc bags.
Yep.
Four big Ziploc
That's
bags.
That's incredible.
Just throw them. We, like, rebake them, maybe add a little more cheese. So good.
That sounds amazing.
My mouth is watering. I'm so hungry right now.
Me too.
And it's actually 4:56. We have two or three more minutes.
Oh, we can get another word in or something.
All right, one more word.
Entertainment. All right. This is our show. Let's go.
Yeah. All right, we're good.
Dialing. Oof.
I don't know about that.
Stall, rescue, invert, lack, temper, best.
You stop reading all of them. It's reading a mystique.
Actor, hammer.
Hammer. What do you got for hammer?
My professor for Calc Hammerston is...
All right,
pretty great
all right,
guy.
Stretch, but all right.
We call him Carl. He lets us call him Carl.
Nah, I would
teacher.
Call him the Hammer.
The Hammer?
Yeah, he'd probably love that.
That just sounds like... That sounds like an alias for someone who's in pornographic films.
That was so articulate. I like how you're like, all right, I'm on radio. Let's think of some words. Alias, not porno, pornographic.
One who participates in, you know, paid intercourse.
Those are all. I think we're all safe with that. That's fine.
Yeah, I'm trying to work around the
absolutely. I notice, of course, and just full disclosure, there are words I enjoy that I cannot use on air that I think are the most powerful and succinct and carry the most force with them.
Mm.
I think they're punctual words. Like, you can punctuate sentences with these perhaps vulgar words.
Okay.
And every now and then, I see myself, I'm like, oh, dude, that was fungus. And, like, I feel, like, the natural thought come out. Like, oh, he was a ping, and I have to, like, the Bible, church. Like, I have to completely switch routes, be, like, very PG. Speaking of... PG, it's possibly time to I got nothing. We're running out of time. That was... It's 4:58.
you can't do that, Martin.
No, I can't be on my A game all the time. It is 4:58, and it's about time to wrap it up. Yeah. This has been Mocha Gumbo. Again, every Friday, 4 to 5, typically, unless James decides to, you know, suck on doorknobs and get sick. This is how it happened, I believe. No?
They were shiny.
They were so shiny. They look so good. All right, so every Friday, 4 to 5 on 104.9 FM or at WJRH.org. This has been Mocha Gumbo, and I'm Kevin.
I'm James.
Yeah, tune in next week and have a wonderful weekend.